Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joey Harrington, we thought it would be a phoner today. JC Babes, it is not. This is a surprise.
It's magical.
Joey Harrington has decided to come in studio. Now, we thought he was in Belize building homes for the less fortunate. It turns out he was only vacationing for selfish purposes. But we can look past that because he has come back early to be with us.
Easy. Vacationing is not for selfish purposes. I'm vacationing for the mental health of my children. It's all about the kids.
He got no enjoyment out of it.
Right? None.
Did you buy that vest? It seems like a vacation vest.
No, you know what? It just seemed to be wearing a vest every time. That time of, I'm just kind of a fall vest guy.
It's the vest time.
There's nothing wrong with good vest weather.
Torsos are cool, and the arms are not. Yeah. You know, so it's good to see a good heavy end.
I'm not a cardboard cutout this week.
No, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Although I do want to see the one you had sitting in my chair last week.
It's a little uncomfortable. You know, you might.
Was it accurate?
Yeah, it is, but you know, it's you may be shirtless in it.
Look, I was gonna say, was I clothed?
I think you might be a little uncomfortable with it, so I think that's just gonna stay between me and Rob.
We peel off a layer of clothing every time. Yeah, you
like
say
major league. Like a major league.
Yeah. Peel it off.
So this week, I've been thinking a lot about the patented.
Ooh, you sure about that? You okay?
Yeah, first time for everything.
Yeah,
the patented 1080 the fan Joey Harrington worry meter.
Okay.
Arizona's in town. It's a 4-touchdown point spread. So I thought that maybe we need to have a negative portion of the scale, meaning like you are so not worried about this game that you can roll into the negative. So the scale this week is negative 225,
okay,
being the least worried,
okay,
to 515 by increments of pi.
Okay, so 3.14159 is your increment.
No phones.
By the way, no one here knows outside of 3.14 if any of that is correct. I hope it is.
No, that was right.
It is. It's 3.14159. That's as far as I know.
Because you could have thrown anything after the 3.1 and both of us would have been like,
oh, yeah.
Sure.
Good.
Yeah, why
good.
Not?
Yeah. You know what? Surprisingly.
You're worried.
Yeah.
Really?
It's not an extreme worry like the USC was, but you know, so we were on a scale of like to like 1100 for USC and I was up in the 890s.
I was a little nervous about that.
Uh-huh. If we're between negative 225 and 515 by pi, I'm probably going to be sitting somewhere in the, probably somewhere in the 300 range. And here's why. And this is the only reason.
Uh-oh.
And I've said it every single week for the last, it seems like, month. I keep thinking about Justin Blackmon and Brandon Whedon and Iowa State. And when Oklahoma State was sitting there at the end of the season, a chance to do what they hadn't done in forever, and Iowa State comes in at 5-4 and knocked them off, right? That type of game happens every single year.
Pitt got Clemson a number of years ago, and I think Pitt might have been like a 3-win team.
Now, exactly.
Clemson was, you know, had the resume, and they went on and
wasn't that early though?
No, I think I think it was towards the end of the year.
Yeah, next week I'm actually gonna do the research and find these games that every November there is at least one team that surprised completely out of the blue. Like that team had no business losing that game, but because of the pressure and because of, you know, the buildup of the season. Now I will say that coming off a bye is a huge thing. That's gonna be a big thing. This bye could not have come at a better time for Oregon, but. You know, I'm not up at like 4.25, but it's still, we can move it back. What was I was at 300. We can move it down to 296.
So it's
2.8 4.
That sounds
two,
right.
I like
six,
it.
Seven, I think.
Eight.
No. So honestly, though, it sounds like you're not nervous about Arizona. You're just nervous about a game.
Yes.
It's not Arizona. When you look at Arizona, I think depending on what metric you want to use, there's 130 FBS football teams.
Right.
Arizona is 125 or worse in basically every defensive category. So it's almost as if Arizona doesn't scare you. It's just the I don't know, the witches of November.
Fear scares me.
Yeah.
Well, they can score, though. I mean, Arizona, how many times has Oregon been surprised by a bad Arizona team? That seems to happen a lot.
You know, I don't want to say I don't buy that, but I've had more people say that to me over the last week or two. Oh, but Arizona always gets us. No, those are the teams of like Scooby Wright and, you know, those Arizona teams got us.
This team last year kicked their ass. They beat them 44-15.
Okay, fair. But this Oregon team is not is completely different than last year's
Oregon
team.
I'll give you that.
Right?
But Arizona can score.
I'm not discrediting that. Absolutely.
So if you're looking at a team, these last three teams that could jump up and bite Oregon, where do you put them? I mean, do you think that, in other words, let's have a worry meter look ahead.
Okay.
I mean, are you more worried about that game happening against an Arizona State or Oregon State?
No, I get more worried as the season goes on. The more pressure is put on each game, the more that's riding on each snap, the more worried I get, because that is, I've been in that situation. You know, you can sit and throw a square out 100 times on October 23rd, right? But if it's December 1st and you got to get a square out to move on to the Pac-12 championship game, I mean, that's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
My senior year, we were fifth or sixth in the country, chance to be the first ever BCS buster. No, no non-Power 5 had ever done it. And we were on the road at Hawaii, and I think Hawaii was 5-6, 6 and five, something like that, and they laid 72 on us.
Yep.
I mean,
what happened to Boise when they were making the run, and what was it, Nevada?
Yeah.
Nevada came through. It happens every single year. I'm going to have a stat for you next week. I'm going to do
Please do. You know what's interesting, too, is that if you look at this college football season, there haven't been a lot of those games, and I know you're talking about as the season progresses and it gets later. But if you look at the top teams,
a lot of chalk.
I mean, my God, you had
South Carolina over Georgia.
Yep. And that's really it. Am I missing any other big boy going down to a team that they had no business losing to?
Well, Evansville beat Kentucky, but you know, we're already doing.
No, I'm trying to think in my head, but because we've had like Texas has lost a couple games, but they're not losing to nobody.
Well, yeah, they lost to LSU and Oklahoma.
So I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You know, Clemson had the close one, but against North Carolina, but they pulled it out.
Yeah.
No, you're right. We really haven't had a lot of big boys go down. When they have, like with Penn State, you know, Minnesota.
But Minnesota's
good. Minnesota's undefeated.
Yeah.
Well, Kansas State beat Oklahoma too.
Kansas, but how well has Kansas State?
They're looking good.
Exactly. That's not a fluke.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the worry meter is higher than I think a lot of people.
Yes.
Would
but I generally tend to be conservative on the worry meters because, you know,
he kind of convinced me a little bit, because my worry meter was in the negative.
Yes.
I've seen Arizona play and just Arizona's not a good football team, but your point of the witches of November, to quote the great wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, that is a real thing. And I do not think that I took that into account enough in my worry meter.
Well, by that theory, Oregon State is like, oh boy.
Yeah, you know, and Oregon State can
score
a little bit.
Because it's the last one.
Why do you think I never threw a touchdown pass against Oregon State? Because I was like all uptight because I knew how much was riding on the game.
That's so interesting because I don't think fans take that into account. I think fans just look at the game in November just like they would look at a game in September.
Not a chance.
Especially
let me tell you, if you walked in here and I told you you had to do an absolutely perfect show today, and if you did that, you would be the greatest sports broadcaster in the history of the world. But it has to be today, and it has to be right now. Ooh. Do you think that you would feel more pressure for that for that show?
No, yeah, I'd do it.
It's like, don't think about the color red.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Red.
Blue. What? All right. Joey Harrington, courtesy BMW of Portland, in studio every Friday. I want to ask you about Myles Garrett.
Ooh, boy.
In the events of last night.
Was that a now thing or is that an after the break? That sounded like you were setting it up for after the break.
It's going to be an after the break thing because I think we have a lot to discuss there.
Got some stuff to unpack.
So we will return more with Joey Harrington next on The Fan. Back with Joey Harrington in studio this week. His worry meter for the Arizona game higher than normal, to recap last segment.
Well, I wouldn't say higher than normal.
Well,
higher than Souk originally had it.
Well, yes. Way higher than Souk.
Yeah.
But Souk gives no credit to the idea of an upset ever. He's just like, oh, that team, they're going to kick their ass.
Souk exists in a vacuum.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's what I do.
For you, I think a lot of people are like, oh, Arizona, this is a win. You say, eh, not so fast.
Just take a deep breath.
So we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
And then it's Arizona State next week. To the NFL, and I wonder, Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett, the whole scene last night, it was wild. I wonder if you've ever been in, I mean, obviously not something that bad, but have you ever been in the Mason Rudolph spot of that, of a scrum like that?
Not that I can think of.
Even in practice?
No, I don't think that honestly, I would, because number one, and you can back me up on this, fights happen, I don't want to say daily in practice, but it's weekly.
And especially in camp, I think,
yes,
it's weekly.
Yeah,
once the season goes on, everyone's hurt and tired and no one wants to fight.
Yeah, but then you get those the scout team guys or the red shirts that come in and trying to make a name for themselves.
Fights
and
aren't uncommon, let's just say that.
And so I think not my stance, but my position where I would always find myself is my job is to see the field, is to see everything that's going on. I could see the chippiness going on. It's like, all right, here comes Timmy. He's about to push, Bobby's buttons and, he's going to punch him. And sure enough, Bobby punched him. And so I'd just step back and I'd yell, hit him in the face, because I could never understand these guys have helmets on and they're sitting there just taking like haymaker swings and hitting somebody else in the face mask. Like, what are you doing?
I've always thought that was funny myself.
Like, that's the dumbest thing I could ever, and so I just sit there and laugh, like, you're so stupid. Hit him harder in the face, like, because you're just going to break your own hand.
You got to get him to the ground and start kicking.
Look, there you go.
I'll be honest.
There you go. Tell us
Pouncey,
how you're supposed to fight.
That's what Pouncey did.
I was not the best.
You were that guy.
I was that guy. I had a temper. There's a lot of fat aggression. I hurt a lot.
I can see that. I can see that.
I was in a lot of fights.
Yep,
so,
I can see that.
But in all the fights that I've been in, the idea of swinging a helmet at someone, like, and I've even gone to the point where I'm like, the coach has come to me and be like, dude, you need to go apologize. And I'm like, yeah, crap. There just is some things you don't cross. And swinging a helmet at someone that doesn't have one on, I saw that. I tweeted this yesterday. I saw this my redshirt freshman year. And I was on a knee because we were running scout team stuff. And so they were like, everyone take a knee. And two defensive linemen, Byron Frisch and Darren Yancey, both other guys who terrified me already. I'm 18 years old. They start going at it. And one of them rips the other one's helmet off and starts swinging. And it's like right in front of me. And I'm just like, holy hell. Never seen anything like, come from high school and no one fights. It grazed him in the bridge of the nose and left a little slit. And two guys who were just ready to murder each other, when that happened, both of them just stopped. And he dropped the helmet. And there was a realization of, dude, I almost killed someone. I mean, we were an inch away from having that be someone's face disintegrated. Full on swing and just barely nicked it. The only thing I've ever seen that even comes close to that. You just don't do it. And practice stopped. I mean, it was a thing. And so to see that last night, that was surreal, because even after all these years, and even though it wasn't that bad, that sticks with me. I remember the names. I remember the look on the face. And to see someone go from an 11 in the rage meter to immediately stopping and realizing what he had just done and how lucky he was to just barely nick it. It was almost like maybe the edge of like the face mask or something nicked the bridge of his nose. It was
surreal.
Did
anybody get in trouble for that?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
suspensions?
Yes. It was not. This was, and this was
but
during
it didn't
camp.
Get out.
No, it didn't get out, but this was not one of those things where we glossed over. There was a team meeting. I mean, it was a whole thing. And I learned early on, you do not do that. And he should have known that. I know he did.
I mean, from the way he walked off the field and then the interview that he did at his locker afterwards, he was the first to say, like, and I was, I don't want to say I was impressed, but I was surprised that there was that immediate level of recognition of what he almost just caused. And he said it, he's like, I'm completely in the wrong. I cost my team. I made a huge mistake. Like, and he was apologetic about it. Here's the, Here's the issue I have. This was started. Now let me, before everybody jumps on me here. What Miles did is completely unacceptable. He crossed that line. This was a horrible reaction to an overreaction to what happens quite often. I don't think I'm off base in saying that Mason Rudolph started this, right? Miles Garrett tackled him, mm-hmm. right? Mason threw the ball, he tackled him, took him to the ground. At that point, and maybe it was, and I've been in that position where you're just so frustrated. Oh, he threw four picks last night, he got beat on the road. Last play of the game, he gets driven to the ground. He goes after Garrett's helmet, and he starts pulling it off, from the backside. And so if you're Miles Garrett and you're down and you feel someone pulling at the back of your helmet, I can understand an escalated response. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a realization that you can't cross that line. So
there also has to be one between practice and games, because as someone who readily, I was an ass. I fought a lot of people at practice. Some of them deserved it. Some of them didn't. Won some, lost some. Never got into a fight in a game, because whether it's in college or in the NFL, you have to be able to know that there's a difference between throwing a punch in practice yep. and throwing a punch out on the field.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on what his punishment should be. I know they came out with an indefinite suspension right now.
Yep.
If you're looking at what has happened in the past, it wasn't Antoine Smith, Antonio Smith, I believe was the last person to swing a helmet at somebody, and he was only suspended 3 games.
Yeah. Albert Haynesworth is the one that people are pointing to. He's the one that stomped on. It was Andre Girard.
Yeah.
And he got 5 for that.
He didn't have his helmet on, right?
Didn't have his helmet on. Girard's helmet had come off, and Haynesworth stomped on his head.
I thought he got five.
I think he got 5.
And then Vontaze Burfict got 12, but that's for a compilation.
That guy shouldn't even be in the NFL anymore.
No.
I mean, he's lost his privileges.
Yes.
I don't know. I think there's no way to disagree with the fact that this was a horrendous decision and a horrendous act by Miles Garrett. But I think there's a lot more blame to go around. And frankly, I think I'm going to be a little disappointed if Rudolph isn't involved in this punishment somehow. They've, Pouncey's out and
the other D lineman that shoved him. Rudolph got fined, but no suspension.
Did he? He got fined.
He got fined, but he is not suspended. So the other defensive lineman whose name escapes me, he got a game. Pouncey got 3, and then you're talking at least 6, and if they make it to the postseason, because he's done for the rest of the year.
Because Rudolph got up and charged him. Yep. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a hard time a little bit with that.
I think a lot of people are like that. I've seen a very split reaction of people on both sides of the
because
camp here.
This would not have happened mm-hmm. had he not gone after Miles Garrett's helmet. And at that point that he then got up, he escalated the situation by continuing to go after him when Pouncey and had Garrett. I mean, that could have just been Castro.
I think DeCastro is the one that had him.
Yes.
It could have stopped then,
but then Rudolph gets up and goes back at him.
Yeah. And I think there is a still shot. I haven't, the footage is when they're underneath, it's hard, but there is a still shot that does appear that he kicked him in the, cash in prizes.
Kicked him, yeah, because he was trying to get him off of him. Yeah. He was like, get off me.
Yeah, so that Garrett was after this, Garrett had him by the helmet, and it looks like Mason Rudolph brought the leg up.
Let me ask you this. Is it a little bit of an indictment on the game? And I don't even say an indictment on the game. It's just like this leap we're taking that, okay, you play this very violent sport, and yet you cross a line, and then we're flabbergasted that you crossed this line, right? It's like, I mean, like the joke's on us. Like this game, sometimes really bad things that shouldn't happen are going to happen, because I think it's interesting that it's Miles Garrett. That dude, by all accounts, is a mild-mannered, mm-hmm. very bright, level-headed dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Vontaze Burfict, it's Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett gets kicked in the nuts, accident or not. Quarterback's coming at him. The game's over. It's been a long night. And he goes not just across the line, but he obliterates the line. I mean, is it bad of me to say that that's, look, it shouldn't have happened, of course, but it's going to happen. It's football.
Like, I'm not, for as outraged as everybody is, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think there's a difference between saying that's not okay and being surprised that it happened.
That's a really good point. Right. And I don't know if I've heard anyone else make that. And I don't think I could have said it better about my feelings. And I think he should be done. If he's gone for a part of next year, it wouldn't bother me. If you want to give him a year, it wouldn't bother me. But to your point, I am not surprised at what occurred.
Yeah, I'm not in the camp of having him sit out next year. How many games left? Six.
And then if they do make the postseason, he won't be eligible for that.
He obliterated their season. Look, they're probably not going to the playoffs anyway. But if you see their schedule, they have some winnable games. They've got a shot at the playoffs because they won that game last night. It's obliterated now. Right. He knows that.
Right.
He's our best player.
Right.
So, I mean, it's there's a lot of damage done here.
Yeah, I think that I would probably be on board with the sixth game to end the season. I mean, in context of what Haynesworth did, in context of what happened. I'm drawing a blank. It's not Antoine Smith. It was one of the first multi-game suspensions. Yeah. And he got 3 games for swinging his helmet at somebody.
Well, Myles Garrett is lucky that he hit him with the soft part.
And that's what I told people, the ear hole bends.
Yes. You hit that with the, and by the way, today's helmets are pretty light. You get hit with one of those old Rydells, or you get hit with the crown, or again, where the helmet bolts together. A lot of sharp, jagged edges. Cause I would tell you what, this is a much different conversation today if he gets hit with one of the sharp edges, the face mask, the crown of the helmet, because at that point his head is split wide open, there's blood everywhere, and there's a good chance that Mason Rudolph isn't getting up right away. And he should feel real lucky that that's the part of the helmet that hit him.
The point that my wife brought up is, remember, this Rudolph's the guy who literally got knocked into next week was out. I mean, he's already spent how many weeks out because of a massive head injury? Yeah. Had he taken that blow from the square part of the helmet in his head this soon after a concussion, the repercussions could have been massive.
Yeah, so he should feel, whatever he gets, he should feel fortunate. I was surprised at the, the NFL takes care of their own. You know, the players have that, kind of, we all stick together. I was kind of surprised at how many current players that came out and were like, this is not okay. Garrett shouldn't play. I mean, there was a lot of blowback, and that to me was the one where I was like, wow, because normally you don't see that to get a current player to come out and take that kind of stance. And it wasn't one or two guys. I mean, there was 10 of them within an hour of this,
right?
That came out and were saying, hey, done for the year, and I don't care if he plays again. It's a bold move when you manage to crack that fraternity of players.
Joey Harrington in studio every Friday, courtesy BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer, where relationships matter. BMWPortland.com. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. I'm going to have the stats for you next week.
Please do. That'd be great.
I'm going to have a lot of stats. I'm just going to be... We didn't do story time. We can do story time next week.
Oh, wait. Yes, let's do story time next week. Did you know... was it Charles Rogers?
Yeah.
Passed away. Yeah. You played with him. I'd like to talk to you about him next week.
Yeah. We will. Okay. You
had an affinity for him a little bit.
Yeah. It's an interesting, he was a complicated guy. Yeah. But, obviously we're coming to the end of the time, but I think we'll talk more next week, but if you have one thought about Charles, just know that he was a good-hearted person. He was a good-hearted person who had a lot of people pulling him in a lot of different directions.
It's unfortunate too, when someone doesn't have success on the field, whether it's their fault or not, and we know that he had some off-the-field troubles, but it's unfortunate when people take that and then it's an indictment on someone's character or it's an indictment on this, I don't know, I'm with you on that. I think it's tough sometimes when you see someone that you know personally is getting judged simply because he wasn't a success at a sport.
Yeah.
Tune in next Friday, 5:30, Joe Harrington in studio. Up next in the club, we go backyard fishing on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.